increasingly the medical profession feels beleaguered. In addition to basic duties of caring for patients, doctors are responsible for a mountain of paperwork involving different insurers. More and more, physicians are offended by what they see as intrusion by insurers into the doctor-patient relationship. Even worse, say many docs, the financial structure leaves out tens of millions of people who lack health care coverage. It's a state of affairs that worries a retired physician, John Guymon.
I'm Professor Emeritus of Family Medicine at University of Washington in Seattle. I practiced until 9 years ago on our rural island, San Juan Island. Now I work on health policy.
And why are you motivated to devote your retirement to that?
Because the system is unfair, it's cruel, it's wasteful, it needs major reform. We've had many attempts to incrementally fix it. They all fail and will continue to fail because we need one large risk pool through social insurance instead of 1,500 small fragmented risk pools where the private insurers are trying to avoid taking care of the sick. So there is a fix, and many of us are so concerned about the unfairness of the system and the inevitability that it's just going to outright go over the cliff that we become active in advocacy for a better system.
Dr. Guymon is former president of Physicians for a National Health Program, an organization that now counts 14,000 members. Founded in 1987, the group believes, quote, that access to high-quality health care is a right of all people and should be provided equitably as a public service rather than bought and sold as a commodity. I spoke to one member, Dr. Eleanor Christensen of Denver, Colorado, at a recent conference.
Our outcomes in our country are way below what they are in countries where they have universal health care and everyone has access to prompt services. The universal health care countries have more prevention and early intervention, whereas in our country there are many delays for services and quite a few uninsured people are unable to get any care at all because they refuse to go to the emergency room. It's a popular myth that people can always get health care if they go to the emergency room, even if they're uninsured. But if you are not indigent, you cannot afford to go to the emergency room because of the cost shifting. The bill you will receive might be four times the insurance company would have to pay for the same services. And when I worked in rural, underserved towns of Colorado 15 years ago, I had many patients who would refuse emergency care because they were not willing to lose their home and their life savings. It's the leading cause of personal bankruptcy in our country today.
So where do you look for a good model that would be workable in the United States and could reasonably be implemented in the United States?
There are many excellent models. I have traveled to Norway, spent a week in Norway studying how they do it. And I'm particularly impressed with their telemedicine.
What is that?
Every physician in their country is linked by telecommunications with the teaching hospital in Oslo, and the physicians in outlying and rural areas are able to get specialty consultations in all specialties 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're spending half as much per capita for that quality of care that we are spending. I've also spent a week studying how Finland delivers their universal health care. Each country does it a little differently in terms of administration and funding, but in Finland they have an excellent way of doing the administration on the local level. Instead of a federal bureaucracy, they divide their population into 200,000 to 250,000 persons per administrative unit, and a volunteer committee of seven makes the decisions on how the dollars can best be spent to give optimal care to everyone in their jurisdiction. So it's very close and personal and tailored to the needs of the community. and their funds are allocated by their national government based on the demographics of the people in that unit of administration. For example, the ages, the instance of chronic disease, the special needs, disabilities, and racial and cultural factors that might impact the cost of giving them all optimal care. And Scotland, I spent a week there studying how they do it better than England. Even though they are part of the National Health Service, they do it exceedingly well. When I asked ordinary folks like cab drivers and waitresses what they thought of the taxes they pay for their National Health Service, they said it gives them a peace of mind and a quality of life that's priceless. And when I asked physicians there how many people in their country use the National Health Service, they all agreed 100%.